This is CIOY 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
The falling drift by the window, the autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the sunburned kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days roll on, and soon I'll hear old winter's song. But I miss you most of all, my darling. Autumn leaves fall. The falling leaves drift by the window, the autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear
Five the Hawk. Welcome aboard the Johnny Athens Variety Hour for this week on 101.5 The Hawk. We had none other than the great and talented and mystic Nat King Cole opening the show for us this day with Autumn Leaves as they do begin to fall around us. And what a show we have planned. We have all the usual suspects. Music from many talented guests, Joe Pass, Paul Desmond, Leonard Bernstein, Duke Ellington, Emir Diodato, and much, much more. We even have music that isn't meant for humans. That's right, and not dogs, not this is music. A little bit green for something different. Of course, we also have comedy this hour with Alonzo Bowden coming up, and an interview between Leonard Bernstein and Duke Ellington, two legends. Take it out together. And talking of takeout, there was a 67-year-old man just about a month ago in England who tried to do takeout from a bank. That's right, the 67-year-old man found himself at the counter handing notes over to the tellers, demanding that they just hand over the 10s and 20s. Think about the other customers. But apparently his handwriting was so bad that the tellers didn't know what the notes said, so they couldn't help the man. Now, if you've ever had to help a 67-year-old man through those plastic little windows that stores always have nowadays, and at the bank they got the bars, whatever else, they can't hear you. So once the writing is gone, all hope is lost. So it's going to be an exciting time here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. And what better way to get started than with Joe Pass playing Joe's Blues here on 101.5 The Hawk. ¶¶
Thank you.
101.5 The Hawk, that was Paul Desmond with the infamous Green Sleeves here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. And I take you today, now, over to our interview segment. We'll be listening to two great legends talk about the development of the music scene in the mid-20th century. It features Leonard Bernstein, infamous composer, renditioner, musical educator. He was on TV for many years, kind of performing essay-like videos, just talking about the development of music and explaining, kind of bridging the gap between the young and old at the time when rock was coming up. He kind of helped the older generations who grew up on jazz, perhaps in classical music, understand the technicality of rock music and why it was so fresh and new and exciting, as well as teaching the younger people at the time who adored rock music, the Beatles and whatnot, and had them appreciate jazz and classical as well. He intertwined the two. And is considered fairly, I think, a key figure in the music scene of this time, of the 20th century. And it features him and Duke Ellington, of course, who is no stranger to the program. Infamous, what can I say that hasn't already been said about Duke Ellington, writer of dozens and dozens and dozens of classics. Half the American Jazz Songbook is probably his. And they got together on July 2nd, 1966, this interview, for a discussion at the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company in River Hills, Wisconsin. The company was known for paying these musicians to put on concerts in Milwaukee and New York for free for the public. You could come to, I guess, the gardens and the parks and just listen to the music all you wanted. The companies just kind of paid and let them do their thing for the public. And they discuss just a variety of musical-related topics in the full interview, and what we'll be hearing now is the cultural centers and the audiences of these cultural centers between classical music and jazz music. And afterwards, we shall listen to some music by the Duke himself, playing Rhapsody in Blue, quite literally a jazz symphony, as you'll hear them discuss. And while they both had their own renditions, we'll be listening to Duke's take on that Rhapsody in Blue here on 101.5 The Hawk.
Gentlemen, you have both performed so extensively in our so-called cultural centers, the East and West Coast. Do you feel that our cultural life, at least in the area of music, is becoming or is still confined too much to these centers? Mr. Bernstein, would you like to take a crack at it first?
By centers, you mean the great metropolises, or do you mean the new cultural centers that are being built in them?
I mean the metropolises, yes.
No, as a matter of fact, there's tremendous diversity taking place. Diversification, I should say, because it's in the process of happening. But there has been a tremendous spread away from the metropolises to smaller cities, to university campuses, communities of various sorts and sizes. popularly referred to as the cultural explosion, which is a word that occasions some dismay among the higher-brow critics. But it's a thing that I am very proud of and happy to see happening, because it's not a fake explosion, it's a real one. And it's penetrating everywhere in the country.
Mr. Ellington, how do you feel on the same point?
Well, I just am very happy to know that the American audience is maturing.
And maturing, you feel, across the country?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What evidence do you find in your concerts of this?
Of this? Well, Alms is a rather separate one. It's in that, everybody gets their own audience, more or less. And, of course, Alms is spread over a long period. You know, it's we find people who met when we were playing Mood Indigo at a prom, or the baby was born when Caravan came out, or Don't Get Around Much Anymore. They were seeing husband off to war or something like that. And we cover a lot of different generations, you know? And so it's you just sort of automatically have an appraisal of the scene.
But wouldn't you say, Duke, that one of the great signs of this explosion I was talking about is that we really share the same audiences to a much greater extent than we used to? I mean, as you say, you have your own audience. Well, that used to be true, and I suppose our kind of music, if you could say such a thing, used to have its own audience. But now you can't tell them apart anymore. I mean, the same kids and the same excited people come to hear you as come to hear me. And that's that's something new.
I've been trying to, trying to decategorize this American... It's American music, I would say, or the stuff that we're in, anyway. And it's getting to the point now where the modern contemporary composer and the guy who's supposed to be a modern jazz composer, they all come out of the same conservatories.
And, exactly.
And it's very difficult to find a place to draw the line.
Well, you were certainly one of the pioneers in that.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't come out of the conservatory.
No, but you were one of the first people who wrote so-called symphonic jazz.
I had a conservatory in the Capitol Theater.
That's right, exactly.
Sit there and listen to the symphony before the picture.
Well, maybe that's really the difference between us, that you wrote symphonic jazz and I wrote jazz symphonies.
Love you,
something
man.
Like that.
101.5 The Hawk. Welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was Amir Diodato with Pina Colada. And prior to that, we had Duke Ellington's orchestra playing Rhapsody in Blue, a very renowned piece of jazz music, the first kind of jazz symphony, or symphony in jazz style, I suppose, like they said in the interview, written by George Gershwin of Gershwin fame. Pretty much every jazz standard back in the day was written by either George or Ira Gershwin, with their many musicals. But as famous as Rhapsody in Blue may be, there is another kind of rhapsody. A rhapsody in green. A rhapsody that wasn't a wide-known piece of music. One that wasn't played by orchestras and symphonic bands and big bands across the nation when it came out. No, this rhapsody could only be acquired in one of two ways. You either had to buy a houseplant from a store called Mother Earth in Los Angeles, or you had to purchase a Simmons mattress from Sears. In 1976, Mort Garson released an electronic album, one of the first of its kind, composing entirely with a Moog synthesizer, Mother Earth's Plantasia, featuring Rhapsody in Green. The album was one of a kind at the time of its release. There was nothing quite like it, and because of its limited distribution through Sears and a singular plant store in Los Angeles, it failed to receive wide claim recognition for the work it was. And while a nice album, it is not meant for us. It is not meant for you and me. It is intended to be played, or was at least composed specifically for your plants to listen to. It may not be that you're not watering your plants, but perhaps they just don't enjoy listening to Katy Perry or Lady Gaga or Lil Nas X. So they need something more organic, dare I say? Yes, Mother Earth's Plantasia, composed specifically for plants. The first kind of electronic music that's ever really been released in such acclaim. And it has got a cult following nowadays. We're playing it here on the show, or we will. But just a couple years ago, in 2019, it had a reissue on streaming services, as well as on vinyl and CD. So here we go. Perhaps bring your plants into the room if they're not with you. See if they start grooving along or doing something that plants do. I know I was combing through the songs we were going to play today, and I got a petunia that started twerking as soon as this song came on. So here we go. Rhapsody in Green by Mort Garson on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you. 1.5 The Hawk, welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was Paul Brown with Backstage Pass, and before that we had Rhapsody in Green from Mort Garson's Plantasia, the music for plants. But I was reading up on Paul Brown as we were getting his track, and there's actually, he's rather accomplished. You know, he's won 2 Grammy Awards and produced more than 40 hits for George Benson, Al Jarreau, Kirk Wallham, and so many other great artists. His work as an engineer and producer is just as great as his work as a jazz guitarist, you know, and I think that goes without saying. And this song, Backstage Pass, comes from his 2012 album, The Funky Joint, which, if we're being honest, isn't too funky, but is smooth as jazz can be. He knows how to work around, find that hook, and bring you in. So coming up now, we have our comedy for today's episode. We have Alonzo Bowden, and appropriately, I thought, talking about the start, well, to match with the start of this fall sports season, he will be talking about some football and other great things in sports. So, without further ado, here's the grand prize winner for Last Comic Standing, Alonzo Bowden, on 101.5 The Hawk.
Wow. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Wow, it is so good to be Don Rickles' black friend. I gotta tell you, I made it. What's up, Montreal? How you doing? All right. I love sports. I came up here. There's a new CFL team, the Ottawa Red Blacks. That is the laziest job of naming a football team. How much work really went into that? What are they wearing? Red and black? Let's go with that. In the NFL, we have the Washington Redskins, and there's a lot of people upset with that. Now you got the Red Blacks. You just had to take it a step farther, didn't you? That's funny to me when like sports and social issues cross and people get all weird about it. Like we have gay athletes now. You know, Jason Collins is the first openly gay man in a major team sport. He plays basketball for the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, see? And that's everyone's response. Oh, we love you, Jason. Oh, stop it. Jason Collins is 7 feet tall, 255 pounds. Now that's a lot of gay. Of course you support a man who's 7 feet, 255, and gay. What do you, hey, you big f***? That's never gonna happen. Your only hope is he don't decide you're gonna be gay. Because the moment he makes that decision, you ain't got too much to say about it now, do you? All right, Jason, I'm gonna do this once. So we have Michael Sams, college football player, came out as gay before the NFL draft. And all the general managers and the scouts, I don't know, he's gay, man. Got to worry about the NFL morals clause. The what? There's an NFL morals clause? See, I didn't know, because last season when I was watching the game, the dog killer threw a pass to the wife beater who got tackled by the attempted murderer. At no point did the morals clause kick in. Issues in sports, race came up. Now I'm in LA, Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, just came out. I don't want black people at my games. You own an NBA franchise. You talk about not knowing your product. You don't want black people at an NBA game? That's like owning a Starbucks and be like, why are they here so early in the morning? It was strange, man, because he said it during the playoffs, right? And I had tickets to the game, and now I don't know whether it's cool to go to the game or not, because I'm not sure what black people are going to do. I don't want to be the only brother at the game, and I wasn't sure which way we were going, because the game was prior to the next black folks meeting. See, some of you are laughing, some of you are like, I knew they had meetings. Somebody said, oh, if he don't want black people at the game, he should buy a hockey team. I know, it's ridiculous, right? Because, you know, besides being a dumb statement, there are black hockey players now, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, P.K. Subban, you guys have one of the best black hockey players in the NHL. That's right, there are black people playing hockey. You know what that means? NASCAR is nervous as hell. I like making fun of NASCAR because NASCAR is a southern sport, and I have so much fun when I go to the south. I'm glad you guys knew I was kidding, because some of you were looking at me like, really? Well, tell us more about your southern travel. I was doing a show in Nashville, Tennessee, and the woman hosting the show, she's like, how y'all doing? And then she looked at me, she said, oh, you don't hear y'all north of the Mason-Dixon line. And I was like, we don't hear Mason-Dixon line north of the Mason-Dixon line. The minute I hear Mason-Dixon line, I know I'm on the wrong side of it. You know what I mean? Man. The South isn't all bad, but you got to be honest. Traveling through parts of the South is like going back in time. Really, that's why I think every town in the South should have a welcome sign that lets you know what year it is. Right? That way is, look, I don't need to know where I am. I want to know when I am. You understand? You just roll into town. They just have a sign like, it's 1851, boy. Know your place. Right? I mean, thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm going to shuffle on down to the future, sir. I'm a shuffling. And you roll into another town. They're like, it's 1966. You're close. Not quite there. Say, all right, that means I can get gas. I just won't spend the night. right? Then you roll into another town. They're like, ah, forget it. It's 2012. Have a white girl. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
101.5 The Hawk. That was George Benson with the theme from Summer of 42. Closing out our comedy with Alonzo Bowden. And closing out the rest of the show. This is about it for this week on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. I thank you once again so, so much for listening, and to those who think of listening, because it's the thought that counts. Doesn't help the ratings, but you know, we think about that. We think about how they aren't listening. But yes, thank you for tuning in. Another great show. Very special thanks to all the musicians that we get to feature, as well as Marie Cassidy, our helping hand at 101.5 The Hawk here. She makes this all possible. If you enjoyed the show and want to stay in touch, maybe you have requests or something you want to share on the air, dedications, whatever else, or maybe you just want to say how much you love the show, because I'm sure you do. And you can reach us at our social medias, Johnny.Athens on Instagram and Johnny Athens Entertainment on Facebook. You can follow the page there and get all the updates as they're posted. So don't forget to tune in next week when we have more great music, interviews, comedy, and so much more in the works. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends, and if you didn't, tell your enemies. That's all for me here on the station this week. Autumn in New York by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong will close out the show on 101.5 The Hawk. Take care and good night.
Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds in canyons of steel, they're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise. Autumn in New York, it's good to live it again.
Autumn in New York, the gleaming rooftops at sundown. Oh, autumn in New York, it lifts you up when you run down. Yes, jaded ruins and gay divorces who lunch at the Ritz will tell you that it's divine. This autumn in New York transforms the slums into Mayfair. Oh, Harlem in New York. You'll need the castles in Spain. Yes, lovers that bless the dark. Oh, on the benches in Central Park. Great autumn in New York. It's good to live it again.
For exotic lands, it's all.